You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah!
How's life in Fantasyland, Hunter?
How's life in the unemployment land?
It's great, actually. I'm actually not looking for a job, but I heard you're trying to crown a WWE champion. Is that true?
Things aren't the same as they used to be. Give me a call.
Yeah.
Maybe we can work something out.
Well, you know where to find me. I'm sure Stephanie has my phone number, so you can...
Well, it looks like I'm still not where I want to be with a few things, but let's see if I can get some better stuff running. We are here with the CLW 83 Network and WrestleChat.net. Let me see if I can get this stupid thing to do what I want to do.
Technology!
Some days it just sucks. Let me in, damn it. 1 second, folks.
Please stand by. Do 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 do. You can't see me.
Now.
My top is not. Oh, hi.
Okay, can you hear me here?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I think I sound a lot better.
Well, we did hear you.
You did.
And Nikki's dead. Oh, jeez.
No, I'm not, dagnabbit.
Okay, there you are.
No, I'm not, dagnabbit. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, and I refuse to lose to this damn system. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I'm taking over, and screw you, Skype.
Hey, don't...
Yes.
Don't diss Skype. It actually works well for, some of us.
Well... Yes. I'd like to know that my $20 was well spent and that you guys can actually, I better say this right. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Yay!
Because now I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
We have come to the second Summer of Punk, and he's making the most of it, and I've brought friends to talk about it. So the first person digging on me would be VRM.
Yeah, okay, so Punk walked out the door. Now, remember, his seat's on this fire burns. Did he forget to turn off the fire in the United States? Because it's sort of running out of control.
Indeed,
but
the heat is...
I'm stepping outside, and I'm automatically sweating. There's a problem.
Indeed, the country has become too hot to handle, and I would like to blame Punk for that. Now for the other person who's been picking on me, and rightfully so, because he's a good audio man, Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you, but you're sounding good on Skype. Sounding very nice. By the way, aside from the Punk stuff, I gotta say, Randy Orton should just stay away from announce tables. If announce table 4... ordered nothing on my scorecard, I would call this a halt to hostility right now if this was a prize fight. The announce table, your new champion.
I'd be happy to give it a belt. Unfortunately, we happen to be missing one. But
yes.
That's that's because we, you know, I speak of the summer of, the, of punk, but I also speak of a week of holy shit, what in the world is, what in the world's in the water at WWE this past week?
Wacky weed.
Shh, RVD doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, that's right. Crap.
Thus, if anyone who is listening has not seen Money in the Bank, save your pennies, buy the DVD. If you are an unscrupulous individual, you may look for it online. I did not tell you to do so. I don't care how you... Yes, we do. I don't care how you see it. You must see this pay-per-view. Why? I can give you three very good reasons, and only one of them involved Punk.
Hmm.
So I'm going to spoil some of the pay-per-view for those of you who haven't seen it. Number one, one of those handy-dandy briefcases is in the hands of IWC darling Daniel Bryan, much to the chagrin of Michael Cole.
Oh,
so
my.
Jim, what do you how do you feel about Daniel Bryan declaring his cash-in date on SmackDown this week?
He declared it for WrestleMania 28 in Miami. I'm all for it, but I'm hoping by the same time the guy stays healthy. It's a long way out. I'm hoping and praying he stays healthy enough. Well, he's a vegan, so he can't stay healthy. But, you know, doesn't get into any, you know, major, you know, injuries and what have you. And I got to say, rightfully so. I mean, we don't want to go through another King versus Cole fiasco. That would
you
be just...
people are fools!
Yeah, and so are you. And you're a tool. You're the toolbox, as Josh Matthews once said.
Number two, this will be our last chance for a little while to see Sin Cara, who is currently on a wellness vacation. VRM, how was that facepalm?
Oh, for Hunter, it must be a facepalm, because now his two major talents are that he's brought in since he's gotten into his position with talent development. One is pregnant, and the other is wellness. So. Not a very good
English.
We can't fault Karma for getting pregnant, really. Sin Cara is like, though that's sort of a problem. I don't exactly remember what it was. Like, I don't have the article in front of me. What was it that he got caught with, or did they not say?
I didn't hear.
I
think it was straight steroids, if I'm not mistaken.
That was not tremendous, Joey Styles.
No, it wasn't Cyrus, no.
And although they did something of the right thing and had him written out with a well played ladder spot, essentially using something similar to what they did with Edge at WrestleMania 23, throw him through that aluminum ladder that cracked and had these little brown things sticking out of them before they threw him on a stretcher and got him out of there. Shh.
Ouchie.
Now, Sin Cara wasn't the only quote-unquote injury that we had through the course of the show. As Mark Henry had taken care of business with the Big Show, he then proceeded to Pillmanize his leg and take him out for, if I remember the announcer's story correctly, about 2 months. Mark Henry continued his rampage on Friday and took out Kane. Jim, do you think this is enough of a start to give Mark Henry the main event push that apparently somebody thinks he sorely needs?
Well, let's see. You're taking out two of the biggest guns in the game. I said the game. Sorry, Trips. We'll talk about you later. Obviously, they see something in him. Obviously, he's going to get a crack. Will he run with the ball? I doubt it. I mean, there's a running gag around here. I think it was from Typho about every so often, like the once-a-year Mark Henry push, and then 3 weeks later, he's back down to the bottom of the card. Doesn't look like it this time. It looks like he's going to be upper mid-card come SummerSlam, or as I still refer to call it, Summerfest.
Well, I'm going to have to. I'm going to give Mark Henry some points because I've taken. I know you guys don't take a very close look at him, but I've noticed in recent weeks he has looked like he is trying to get himself back in shape. He has dropped considerable amounts of weight.
Yes,
he wants. He actually wants to do this. We had a potential legit injury in the case of the Miz, who tweaked his knee falling off the ladder. Probably was helped to the back. But he did come out to finish whatever spots he was going to do since the briefcase was destined for Alberto Del Rio. VRM, do you think that since Miz didn't pull down the briefcase, he's got a shot at taking care of Rey Mysterio on next week's Raw?
I'm not sure because I don't know, because that was the whole thing that's going on with I know I'm driving ahead with Punk now, and I'm still wondering if this WWE title match is actually going to happen, or if it's going to end up being backburned into a number one contender match, or heaven forbid, Rey wins, Del Rio insta cashes, and then schmazz all over the quote unquote new WWE title. So I'm up in the air. I have no idea what's.
So from there, then I will bring on to the biggest news. That's what I was looking up. I'll get our scores here in just a moment. But to the main part that we were getting at, and I called it. Just for the record, I called it. It is recorded somewhere. Punk not only won the WWE title, but was more than happy to blow a kiss to Mr. McMahon and hop out to the crowd, to which the IWC started jumping up and down.
And to which Dave...
Absolutely.
And to which Dave gave a full 5 stars. The first 5-star match since what? Hell in a Cell? Like one of the original Hell in a Cell?
I'm not, as one who ignores Meltzer to a regular degree, I couldn't tell you. But I will say this, I do have one thing to say about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view I lost.
Indeed.
This entire pay-per-view was an absolute win. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of winning, we had 11 people participating in our pick'ems, and I'm actually kind of happy about that. It's nice to see that everybody was very interested in this pay-per-view. To this, I will go down the list real quick. Let's see. Just the fact that we, you know, the whole thing was 7 points. And I'm sorry, Jim, but I am going to have to single you out, sir. But, dude, you suck.
Thanks! Appreciate
it. Well, no matter what, my score is worse because I didn't even...
Which means there's no
play.
Excuse. Oh, God.
But, no, unfortunately, Jim is at the very, very bottom with only 3 as he... All he got right was Del Rio grabbing the briefcase, which I got wrong. Kelly, which everybody got, and no cash in. So there was a dog pile for second to last with Josh and Typho and Brian and fourth, and Tyler was 4. DJ, Carl, and I were just above that with 5. So now... The Fizzleweight champion is going to somebody who's never even been on the show. Damn it, Ethan. Damn you, Ethan.
Love it.
Ethan,
that's the best thing I've ever heard. Exactly.
Fine. Just for that, though, Ethan, if you're listening, you have to be on the show in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So there.
Mm.
Okay. Now that I have finished drooling all over the pay-per-view, I'm going to start drooling all over Raw.
Okay.
Because they did do us the favor of Punk not showing up, as he has kept to his promise, and Pardon?
He was busy hanging with the Cubbies in Wrigley Field.
Yeah, but he wanted to make sure everybody knew that the belt was in a safe place, and showed on his Twitter that he'd put it in his refrigerator. Dopus!
Oh, Jesus.
So yeah, he had it on his shoulder when he went to the Cubs game. He put it out on the middle of Wrigley Field, which is the only championship that the Cubs have seen in over 100 years.
Oh.
Yes, I went there.
Holy
yes,
cow.
Yes, I went there.
They saw the cup. What was it, 2 years ago when they saw the cup?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's the Blackhawks, not the Cubs. But digressing, Nikki continues.
So, as very logical, they were going to have a tournament to crown a new WWE champion, which we had this wonderful little eight-person deal. That, of course, would be pretty much, you know, decent news any other week. And what happened at the end of the show should be a top story any other week of the year but this. CM Punk in the ultimate dick move has found a way to outshine the evil Dr. Levesque once again.
I'm sorry.
And I say once again because I refer to Survivor Series in Philadelphia in 2006 when CM Punk was getting chanted over DX.
Yes.
To which I speak of the evil Dr. Levesque coming to the ring when Vince McMahon was about to do his duty and rid the world of John Cena forever. I must pause. John Cena did a wonderful little shoot comment in the middle of his promo. Blink and you missed it. I love what I do, but if I can't do it here, I'm gonna go find someplace else where I can go and have this kind of fun, brother.
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 The chat room I was in, it was like that face, if you remember when Rock was inducting his father and grandfather into the Hall of Fame a couple years back, and he dissed on the Marine. Remember Cena's face then?
Yes.
That's what basically everyone's face looked like when he made that comment.
And thank you for reminding me. Apologies to any listeners who were looking for a chat room. I finally launched it.
Ah.
So, anyway, just before those two magical words were to come out of Vince's mouth, the music struck up, and I was surprised it wasn't King of Kings, but Hunter's like that.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yes.
But for the record, when he did come out and did what he had to do for the sake of business, as he so well put it, he didn't do what people would call status quo. I'm going to call out the IWC for shitting on this segment because if they really wanted something to crap on, it would have been, Pops, I'm sorry, I love you, pedigree. That's status quo. What we had here was something that was closer to real, a tad melodramatic, but closer to real. Jim, how did you feel when Hunter told Vince you have been relieved of your duties?
Well, I mixed feelings. I like that they didn't go with the obvious and, like you said, hit the pedigree and, you know, make it, ooh, I'm taking over with my Preparation H. But by the same token, it left me saying, okay, they're just trying to play can you top this with the Punk angle and how it was as real, it seemed as real could be. It's like they're trying to play, can we top this? Sometimes you can't. And no, obviously this didn't top. And then, you had people on Twitter from ESPN and CNBC, of all things, double-checking to make sure McMahon was still the, you know, the chairman of the board, realistically.
People were double-checking corporate.
Exactly. Darren Revelle.
I bet in that time slot, from the moment relieved of your duties left Hunter's mouth, all through the night, there was just a flood of people checking WWE corporate. WWE corporate's probably got its biggest hit rate since the BS of the limo angle.
Right. Sure.
Actually, I was going to bring up the Trump buying WWE incident.
Yes. Yes.
That one sent corporate into a tizzy and the stock tumbling a bit. So
how can it tumble when it's nothing right now?
What's it at anyway? I haven't looked at it.
I think the stock has actually gone up in this past week a little bit. 5 days. Yeah, it is up 41 cents for the week, 4.16% to closing today at $10.26 a share.
Right.
Okay, still not quite. At the highest I've ever heard out of it was like 13 or 14. So, but that's going to go up along with the ratings, which, granted, Raw was still steady at 3.2, but VRM, do you anticipate a rise in viewership now that the word's getting around that Punk's running around with the belt that he stole and that Hunter has decided to take Vince's favorite toy away from him?
Well, the question is that where else is the angle going to appear? This is a perfect time for especially if we don't really like it, for WWE to get their cross promotion out on the late nights, on the Jimmy Kimmels, on the David Lettermans. I could honestly say we could be seeing WWE angles appearing on these late nights is more than just the standard, okay, we're going to have our random Cena appearance or our random Punk appearance or a random Miz appearance. We could actually be seeing the angles. So I'm not sure if we can really factor in those ratings into the picture, but if people start seeing this on these other shows, on the Jimmy Kimmels and the Lettermans and Conans and whatever, that maybe those people that watch those shows will start tuning in to Raw and SmackDown to see where this angle ends up going.
Well, Jim, clarify this for me. Hasn't Punk, I know Punk showed up on Colt Cabana's show, but didn't he have a couple of other appearances? I'm not talking about Comic-Con. We'll get there.
Right. Yeah, I believe he was with the ESPN's Bill Simmons on his podcast. Which is also a BS name thing, but not as effective as the BS Big Show here on the CLW83 network. Punk's getting a lot of mainstream press. And as such, when Punk gets press, WWE gets press. When WWE gets press, that means dollar, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. So it's a good thing.
So, and I think it's only going to escalate from there. Because
we could hope.
We could hope. Because Punk is playing the angle up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a video escape, because now I'm going to get to that wonderful little incident that I wonder whose idea it was to play some angle at the San Diego Comic-Con.
In the middle of the WWE Hasbro brief.
Mattel.
Mattel, yeah.
Oh, Mattel.
That Triple H and Rey Mysterio, and I'm not sure who else, because I really couldn't see the table. Mainly because everybody was on their feet the moment that Punk comes kicking through the door with a bullhorn in his hand saying, "I've got a question." And the repartee just between him and Hunter is enough for fans to go, "Ooh, okay, that was really cool." No, seriously, I mean, think about it. Just the fact that, you know, Punk standing there waving the belt at Hunter going, you know, hey, look what I got. Hey, Ray, come to Chicago. And hey, Hunter, if you want to get a hold of me, Steph's got my number.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm sorry, the repartee in there was beautiful. Was absolutely beautiful.
It was so, like Abbott and Costello, like, although, well, Triple H wasn't funny. That's the difference.
Well, he's trying to be the corporate guy.
Well, I know, but
otherwise,
you know, McMahon is the corporate guy, could be funny.
Well, granted, but right now, you know, Hunter's got to figure out a way to be funny without making dick jokes or crotch chopping.
Yes, in this PG society. Yes, I forgot. Yes.
It's getting there. It's getting there. So,
right.
With that in mind, gentlemen, you cannot tell me that CM Punk is not under contract right now.
After this stunt that they pulled, there is no question whether it's a temporary deal while they fork out the language and the figures, or if he re-signed somewhere in the interim between his shoot from.
The hell?
That's awkward.
No offense,
are we still on?
We better be.
Okay, that was that, wow.
No, we just lost VRM. He'll be back.
Okay. No, but well, I, you know.
But you can expand on VRM support. Point.
I definitely will. He's got to be under contract. There is no doubt in my mind he's under contract. Maybe through SummerSlam, maybe more long-term than we think, and just the dirt sheets don't know, and, you know, Punk doesn't want to say anything and keep this thing and keep this story perpetuating, which is a beautiful thing. He's got to be, and he's loving every second of this. And you know what? In a sense, it reminds me, and the analogy may not be completely accurate, but they're giving Punk the ball now. Not unlike when they gave The Miz the ball with the championship, and he's run it right through every defender and into the end zone for a touchdown. They see what he can bring to the table now. They may have known it, they may not have known it, but they see what he brings to the table now. They can't let go. They've got to go pedal to the metal here.
Yeah. I think the way I see it, he had been asking. He had been asking for time off, and he, in a way, is getting it right now. The fact that he's not in the ring, and you know, hell, if he's under contract to tweet sarcastic crap, take pictures of the belt in weird locations, hell, I want that job.
Who doesn't?
And VRM, you're back. Did you want to finish your point about, you know, Punk being re-signed?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember exactly where I left off. Whether he re-signed in this interim or he's under a temporary while working out the language. There, you cannot say that he does not have some kind of compensation coming from WWE right now. You can't say that Vince McMahon isn't signing something on one of his checks, or whoever it is, the name of the CFO, I forget what your CFO's name is.
I think that, you know, I'm glad that they were able to work something out, and, you know, worst comes to worst, Punk rides off in the sunset with the belt, and we finally get the replacement belt that I know even John Cena wanted.
Now, here's one thing I want to mention that I think we might have missed over all this.
Okay.
At the press conference or the Mattel briefing, Punk specifically said Ray in regards to the title. Is that a spoiler?
I'm going to say no, only because I bet The Miz wasn't there. I'm going to I'm going to bet that the only reason he put it out to Ray was just because Ray is in the finals of that tournament, and if Miz was there, he would have said the same thing to him. But to that, I will say that I think you had mentioned at the top of the show, if Ray wins, Alberto Del Rio is going to cash in because he will not stand for Rey Mysterio's champion. Neither will half the IWC. But Del Rio is going to throw his briefcase at it for sure. There's just no way he's going to let Rey exist as a champion
because he is a Chihuahua.
Yes. And Chihuahuas shouldn't hold the belt besides it because it weighs more than they do.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. Yes. Oh, yeah, there's the man. We need to get him back on TV.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do miss him.
Yes.
Let's see. But, yeah, Punk has just blown everybody's mind this week. But he's also, he, along with the rest of the WWE, has pretty much blown the IWC's mind to the point that we're all saying, holy shit, what a week. What's going to happen next? When's the last time we felt like this, guys? Seriously.
Years.
I'd have to say back during the Attitude Era.
I know when.
The day after Rumble 2004.
Where Chris Benoit grabbed his belt and went to Raw. Took his guaranteed title shot to Raw. To which Dear Uncle Paul then was almost fired by Vince, storyline, for letting Benoit go and cutting a wonderful promo simply saying, screw Chris Benoit, I'll find somebody to take his place. But yeah, the anticipation of Benoit getting as far as he did.
Which now, as far as WWE is concerned, has a big strike-through line through it. Ooh, yes.
That's all right. They're trying to turn Punk into an unperson, too.
Oh!
My apologies. It seems the Raw General Manager wants to chime in. What does he got to say? What do you want? What do you want?
It's an email. You can't converse back and forth like that.
That's true. The GM doesn't have Skype yet. And I quote, I hate to interrupt this wonderful love fest, but you guys haven't been shilling enough.
Oh.
So I guess we're going to have to take a minute and pay some bills. So you guys sit back and relax, and we'll talk further in a moment. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, part of CLW83, and sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat mail.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark. On our hour-long special this Saturday night, we talk with captured creator Dustin James, Al Beaton of the Wayne Fonts Experience, and free gastric bypass surgery for the kids. You don't want to miss it.
The CLW3 Night Shift, Saturday night at 9 p.m. only on the CLW83 Network.
Hit him with the folding chair! How's everyone doing up there?
All right.
Bri.
Take a trip to Torrance, California.
Aha!
And bring in Ethan Musselin. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Fuck your fucking cold weather. Yeah, you guys use the hot weather, and we get it. Thanks a lot, you bastards.
But look at it this way. You've got Jackie Johnson forecasting the weather. That has to be redeeming. Indeed.
Now, one question about this, Carl. Since I am coming from the West Coast, does that mean I represent the Asian People's Alliance?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to someone who doesn't know anything about Asian people, also in California.
Oh, you might be.
Hey, hon. Welcome to Mr. Joe Van Skinko. Hello, sir.
Doesn't know anything about Asian people? Do you know how many Asian people I work around at my casino? Seriously?
Yeah.
I'll
tell them.
Taking notes, we've already offended Asians. Continue.
It was a joke.
Oh, we're going to offend a lot of people tonight, don't worry.
The BS Big Show, Wednesday nights only on the CLW3 Network.
Hi, this is the staff boy, Josh Henninger from the North American Wrestling Connection, and you are listening to the CLW83 Network.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
And we're back. Now, I'm going to segue gently from our ad there. I'll tell you one group of people that is not offended this week of this week of wrestling, and that's Ring of Honor fans everywhere. With CM Punk's continued awesome, Daniel Bryan having a wonderful shiny new briefcase, and all this talk of the Kings of Wrestling. Jim, I discussed this with a couple of people before the show. Do we have any confirmation that the Kings of Wrestling might have their foot in the door at the Fed?
I've heard it both ways. I cannot tell you definitively, but I will tell you this much. This past week, let's say, has been absolute vindication for Ring of Honor Wrestling, proving that they deserve to be talked about in the wrestling mainstream. I mean, look at what they've brought up over the last several years. You mentioned Punk, you mentioned Daniel Bryan, and you're going to see more ROH types potentially being picked up by the WWE, at least as long as it's under Triple H's watch, I think.
Now, you know, granted, they've joked about this a bit, VRM, and Punk had pushed it a little bit. If Colt Cabana wanted it, and Hunter reached out to him, do you think Colt would go back?
No, I'm not sure, because I've forgotten what kind of terms that he had left on in the first place. Was he Endeavor cost cut or Endeavor performance cut?
I thought it was just a random canning. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Spring cleaning kind of thing?
Potentially. I've heard on and off whether, you know, that he would not be interested in going back. I just think that if they gave him the same kind of freedom that they're giving Punk right now, actually, if anybody could have the level of freedom that Punk has had over the last month, I think anybody would be happy working for the Fed.
Sure.
So I'll bring this question up. I've read stories here and there that Hunter, you know, when he's backstage, when he has been an interim honcho for shows, that the backstage area seems a touch more relaxed. guys, do you think we'll actually see that relaxation come through in the product? Or are we seeing it already?
I think we're already seeing it. I truly believe we're seeing it in some of the matches that we see on the air now. And I think it also comes back to the fact that Triple H was once one of them. And when you have somebody who, you know, is not that far removed from the backstage situation, you know, the atmosphere could be lighter as opposed to when, say, Vince is in charge and it's Vince's show. You kind of are on pins and needles a little bit more. With Triple H, it seems to be a little bit more relaxing, and it makes for better in-ring work. And, you know, it shows.
I also think it has something to do with the way Hunter got to do his work, because we were comparing some of the holy shit that we're seeing these past couple of weeks to the Attitude Era. That was, to some people, Hunter's heyday. The fact that Hunter did a lot of his stuff off the cuff, because he is a very good talker,
sure.
And the fact that, you know, they weren't told what to say, they were just told to go out there. You know, Hunter does something funny. So, with that kind of freedom, VRM, do you think, you know, since we're already seeing it a little, you know, people stepping up out there in the ring, are we going to see, you know, are we going to hear it as well as we see it?
Yeah, I have a feeling that since we're not going to be under the super tight watch that Vince has laid down over the last couple years with the whole PGification, I'm thinking that we might see that PG border get relaxed a little bit, not quite to the area we had it in, like, 1999, per se, when you had the dick jokes and everything, just flying off the handle ass jokes, sticking things up people's ass, whatever that is, like, with curse words flying every 5 seconds. I don't think we're going to get to those kind of levels, at least not the Raw kind of levels, before it went from PG to 14, but maybe the SmackDown levels, because remember, SmackDown has always been, I think, on a PG rated program, and they've been censored a little more over there, and back in the Attitude Era run. So we might see that strictness relaxing a little. We might actually get to hear more of what we were used to in, like, 2004, 2005.
I think what it is that they're actually going to be stretching their wings a little bit. This was something I discussed with Jason earlier in the week. The fact that they've left themselves such a huge ceiling when they first went to PG, that they can slowly ease into being a bit edgier. And the fact that some of the policy changes, some of the things that we saw that we were complaining about, the fact that we haven't seen a whole lot of blood, the fact that we didn't see a whole lot with weapons lately. Jim, let me throw this at you.
Okay.
Do you think WWE might be resensitizing us to stuff that should probably have been saved for special occasions, such as blood and weapons usage?
I think to a certain extent you have something there, because you're starting to see the weapons usage come back, and you're starting to see it, you know, like, for example, you know, everybody, Mark Henry putting everybody and their sister trying to break their ankles with a chair. You haven't seen that in a while, quite frankly. And the other weapons usage, I'm not saying we're going to be seeing chair shots to the head and it's going to be like a swing-off anytime soon or anything like that. No Singapore, or some people call them Singamore canes. No, I'm not saying that. But, yeah, because I think you have something there, trying to make those moments, if you will, more memorable, more indelible. Hopefully we see a little blood now and then. I don't want to go back to the, well, there's a state mandate that no blood be shown, that crap. I think this is a good thing, all in all.
I think what we're gonna get is that we're still not going to get a whole lot of blading blood.
Right.
I just think if we get a hard way, that they're gonna let it play.
Right.
So, you know, should it happen again?
No stoppage of the match. No bringing out the trainer. Don't bring Ferdy Pacheco out to steal the cuts. No, let him go.
Right. So we won't have incidents like them trying to put Punk back together after he got cut open by Ray's knee brace, or when Christian got a hard way when he was fighting Shelton Benjamin in a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that, because I'll tell you right now, I think before Undertaker disappeared on us, I think he went and told them, don't you dare stop my matches, because I know he had bled at least twice during this highly sensitive time, during the early parts of this re-sensitizing period.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody approached him.
Of course not.
So, but Taker's got that kind of pull. Speaking of the dead man, I've heard this rumor. I don't know if anybody else has heard this rumor. He would like to make an appearance at SummerSlam. Too soon?
I would say yeah. Considering the last, little while, he's been just showing up right around WrestleMania. I mean, would it be nice to see him? I don't know. The talent pool is really hurting that badly. I would say no to it. The man's not 100%. He hasn't been 100% for some time. Let him rest up. Spend some time with Michelle McCool, for what it's worth, and see you in the new year.
Yeah, I'd hold off. I'd hold off as well. I mean, the one injury that his wing—he's not going to get his wing back to 100%. We know that.
Yeah, that was pretty much confirmed before WrestleMania 27. And
but his legs, his knees, his back—take the time off. I mean, he is, out of all the current active on the current active wrestlers in WWE, it's like the oldest is like him, Kane, Trips. Am I right there? They're the three main.
Yeah, because Kane's pushing 40. Hunter is 41 or 42. Taker's 45. Mark Henry's closing in on 40. I know he doesn't really count. R-Truth is actually older, despite no matter how good he looks. No offense, but he should be in his mid upper 30s. Christian's in his mid late 30s. Boogity, boogity, boogity. I know I'm missing somebody.
Let's go racing, boys.
What?
Nothing.
And you're right, they're really not hurting for people because, most of the, we've got most of the guys working their way back in. Kozlov's been bouncing around on Superstars. He's over whatever, had him down for a month or two. The first video packages for John Morrison are showing up. I'm hoping they'll have him back for SummerSlam. And if they don't have a program for him, maybe he'll come back right after SummerSlam to start his build for whatever they were planning on doing with him at the beginning of the year before he caused his little faux pas with Trish Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
I miss Jomo.
Maybe. You know what, we know you missed the Glitteriette. They'd be better off working on, bringing certain talent up. Seth Rogers. Oh, I'm sorry, I had a moment there. As opposed to worrying about The Undertaker coming back.
Right. They should wrap up their stuff with Redemption, with NXT Redemption, if they're going to do anything with anybody. They're still teasing Johnny Curtis, who, by the way, was conspicuous by his absence on SmackDown, or... Did they have a taped segment that actually aired? Because they did not show him, and they did not show the Raw recap at the SmackDown tapings this week.
Hmm. Which you were at, yes.
Which I attended. And actually, I'm going to throw something else in. Something they did show us was they showed us the end. They showed us the end of the Mark Henry Big Show match and they showed us the end of something else. But they showed us two match endings from Money in the Bank. This has never been done before, to my knowledge.
Hmm.
That they actually played pay-per-view footage, actual motion pay-per-view footage, because, you know,
as
when they tell...
the still images, yeah, from WWE Magazine or whatever, yeah.
Right. Usually what they do is they'll throw up a bunch of stills from .com, but this time they played stuff from the pay-per-view, and we actually, you know, got a good look at what was going on. That's the other one. They showed us the end of Christian Orton.
Hmm.
Mainly because that was going to be a major plot point, thus the cold open that they used this week for SmackDown with Randy Orton sitting in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we are in the situation where we have the face chasing the heel champion, and I'm going to spare you guys my bitching that the roles are still backwards. Yes, they are. They still are.
Agreed.
Good. I'm not alone. And sadly, that has really taken, for me, it's taken a lot away from the Orton-Christian feud.
I can understand that. I mean, Orton has a natural heel look to him. He has that heel persona, the voice, the look of a heel. Christian is Captain Charisma, for God's sakes. People will love him no matter what. I mean, he got a sizable pop, if I'm not mistaken, at Money in the Bank, regardless.
Yes, and he still got a decent pop at the show.
Of course, we didn't hear that because it was edited out.
Well,
yeah. They probably edited a few other things out. There were a couple of CM Punk chants during the show. Actually, after they played one of the... they played this big promotional package that they show at every event where they talk about all the wonderful things that WWE does. And a spontaneous "Let's go Cena, CM Punk or Cena sucks" cross chant starts. There is nothing else going on in the arena. And the spontaneous cross chant starts.
Awesome.
And I'm looking around like, what? No, I better not say that too loud or that'll get started.
Yeah, exactly.
But it seems to have replaced the "what" chant. It replaced the spontaneous "woos," except when Charles Robinson was out there. When you go to any sort of WWE event in Ohio, you get the smart Alex to actually start the OHIO chants. To which my response is, I hear OH, I yell, wrong show.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Because I am not here for football, and I'm not here to deal with you idiots who like to trash portions of Columbus when you win.
You won't have that problem for a while. What bunches? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, please. You feel free to insult the OSU sports program, even if I was still living in Ohio.
Yes. Well, they are now just an Ohio State University, not the.
Good.
So there you go. Well, it makes me wonder though, how much at the events themselves, how much crowd noise is piped in over the speakers and what have you.
To be perfectly honest, I won't say that I'm going to say that we didn't have a dead crowd. You know, there was no way we were going to match Chicago. That's something we didn't talk about with the pay-per-view. I think
right.
That was the other big reason. I cannot 100% give credit to an awesome pay-per-view to just the wrestlers. I can't.
Exactly. I'll give you a case study. During the Cena Punk match, out of nowhere, Cena chant showed up when they were never even heard in the introductions or the opening of the match or in the first 10 minutes. Out of nowhere, you hear the "Let's go Cena" chant, and I'm almost 100% convinced that was pumped in over the PA. It had to have been.
I could probably find out, since I know that I can only confirm one Cena fan in the Allstate Arena.
Oh, wow.
I can only confirm one. I can only confirm one. I know of a super fan. He lives in Greenfield, Indiana.
Okay.
He is a diehard Cena fan. He is a diehard Hogan fan. I have no idea how we survived road trips together.
How old is this fan, if I may ask?
As of yesterday, 26.
Okay. I'm not one to pass judgment.
But if you watch the pay-per-view carefully, somewhere near the main event, they will pan down to the front row close to the announce position, camera side.
Okay.
Two super fans that are very easy to spot. One of them is Frankie the Clown, who is always wearing a rainbow curly wig. He might not always be completely dressed up, but he was wearing this rainbow curly wig. Okay. Next to him is this other super fan who I refer to as Skinny John. Mm-hmm. His real name is John, but he was wearing the red, white, and blue John Cena shirt under a white sport coat.
Oh,
and
okay.
When they panned to him just before the match started, he demonstrated that, yes, I am wearing a John Cena shirt. I went to his Facebook and said, I'm glad you got out of Allstate Arena alive.
Oh, Jesus Christmas, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But
because... But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Back to my point.
Back to your point. A crowd can make a pay-per-view. It can break a pay-per-view. And we often see it in the big cities. We see it in New York, in Philadelphia, in Chicago. Shall we even go and say Bizarro World up north in Toronto? Them too. You're not going to get this kind of crowd reaction. I guarantee you it will be a complete 180, by comparison at least, when SummerSlam hits Los Angeles, because, hey, Angelinos don't get into things as much.
Right. And crowds like what we heard in Chicago, we haven't heard in 5 years.
Oh, easily, if not longer.
And,
yeah.
And to make a case to prove the point that crowds can make or break a pay-per-view, Hard Justice 2008, which I was supposed to go to but didn't, I think they had at Sovereign Bank Arena, there was no one there. They were like, they had like filled like the lower, most of the lower bowl, but the upper bowl empty. And they said that they only had like a couple thousand on tap for that. So, yeah, crowds do make or break the pay-per-view.
And I'm making a specific statement because I'm referring to June 12th, 2006.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was in the middle of the surliest, rowdiest crowd that we saw the signs in Chicago, but in New York they meant it.
Oh, yeah.
If Cena won that night, there would have been nothing left of Hammerstein.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Speaking
no,
of somebody...
Not just Hammerstein, but the entire Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Speaking from the fourth row on the floor, when mid-match, I'm looking for exits.
Oh!
I'm looking for an escape route because I did not trust Vince. I fully expected him to maintain status quo and keep the belt on Cena. That is the most scared I have ever been in an event.
They would have had NYPD down there. I bet they had NYPD on standby.
Somebody must have had him on standby and speed dial because there would have been nothing left of that place.
Bet you knew Jack would have run like the Dickens to himself, and he's crazier than you know what. So
yeah. So, but I think that's going to just about do it. VRM, you had something to plug, didn't you?
Oh yes.
Please talk to us.
Normally I wait. Oh, that's on typo. Should I do that? But the after a 7-month hiatus for exams, financial issues and graduation, I'm not sure if we can still call it that, WrestleCraft Sports Digest has returned. We are now a Thursday 8 p.m. show. This week we're talking more about the NFL labor issues, the first of our division previews, news and other assorted news, and We are now also an affiliate of CLW83, even though we're not technically on the CLW83 network. We have been named as an affiliate station of CLW83.
Well, to that, I congratulate you. And we will pause for just a moment while we transfer into archive. And for some reason, my on-air clock is off.
This is worse than pausing for station identification or for the copyright for the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball.
This damn thing skipped a minute.
No, we're good now. We're in archives now, though.
Okay, but the damn my damn clock skipped a minute. I'm going to kick this thing. Anyway.
Yes.
Ah, yes. I need to throw something else out there. I have been asked to further plug events. Let's see, is that Tuesday Night Typho we're talking about? As I've been handed a note. Yes, Tuesday Night Typho. Mr. Typho and Mr. Carl have both asked me to plug Tuesday Night Typho. If I can get some more information, gentlemen, whether you throw it in the chat room or you throw it in an IM, speak up. I would like to speak intelligently about one of our sister shows.
It's Tuesday nights. It's Typho. Need one say more.
That's true. But people would like to...
I mean that in the nicest way, by the way. I don't mean that. I'm not a hater, you see.
Right. I am disappointed that my buddy Dave Lanning did not call in, and I'm worried that we did not hear from Trista tonight.
Yeah, that's the only reason I was here. Let me just be honest.
And I apologize that you were not further satisfied. And I know I should have pulled one more person in, but I think we covered it pretty well. So
yeah, I mean there are a bunch of other stories out there on WrestleChat. I mean, Brett getting into a tizzy with Madison Rain, that's hilarious.
Let's see, what other nonsense have I heard about? No, I said I wasn't going to talk about Hogan Andre, and I am putting my foot down to that. I am not going
please.
To talk about it.
Yeah, so the finger and the no. New Jack's threatening to exploit Terry Runnels again. That's always fun.
Not newsworthy, not interested. And if I really wanted to... I was going to say, if I really want to know something about Terry Runnels, I'll ask Goldust.
Yes. I'm trying to think if there's anything else uberly newsworthy going on. I got nothing off the top of my head, aside from I still can't get over Randy Orton just going through the monitor hole. That's, oh my god.
That was from where I was sitting, and I did watch this much of the video. But from where I was sitting, I thought he was standing too close to the front end of the table, and that's
right.
Why he took the spill. And I took a few moments to put my head in my hands, but I had to look up very quickly because the next thing I was anticipating was a ref's X.
Yeah.
And to that, I would have died laughing, and the young lady next to me with her son would have had to help me out of the building.
I just have a feeling he'll be staying away from tables for the rest of the lead-up to SummerSlam because they have to protect the, you know, the chosen one there.
So I'm waiting for this wrestling revolution to hit SmackDown.
Mm.
Somebody better tell Teddy Long that this revolution is coming and he needs to let it play.
Holla, holla.
And one thing that I just realized we didn't talk about is something there are two things that I want to mention. First of all, the Vince's semi-botch from Monday night.
Semi-botch?
When he said WWE at the WWF.
Ooh,
I missed that.
Yeah, this was another you blink and you miss it. It was when he first came out to confront Ray about the not being a title match. It's like when he opens about to say, I know you want the WWF title, he says, I know you want a WWF title shot, and it's like, It's like, if you can tell, it's like they don't censor it. They don't. You just hear it, and if you blinked, you missed it. There was like former WrestleCraft boards, there was an entire two and a half pages of people just saying WWF.
Uh-oh, here come the pandas.
yeah.
And bring on the pandas.
Yeah, okay, there's that. And now there's a second one, which also related to the former WrestleCraft boards. Predictions from the previous from Sunday night.
Okay.
One user at around 11:36, Rekin, says, and I quote, "Tomorrow, Vince tries to fire Cena, then someone representing the board of directors, maybe Steph or Hunter, comes out and tells Vince that the board has voted him out for taking such an insane risk and letting someone leave the company with the title, and for trying to fire the top star. Someone else is voted chairman or chairwoman, and that person reinstates Cena and tries to get Punk to come back. After everything that happened tonight, I'm going with the craziest fucking prediction possible." Now this was posted at 11:36 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday.
Wow.
Well, I have a response for this man, if it'll let me play it.
Go to Vegas now and bed long on black.
Just don't take a whole $1,000 on it, man.
Just, you know.
Unless it's Orton's money, then go for it.
Well, exactly. One other thing for the pay-per-view, we didn't talk about the merch, a special CM Punk shirt sold that was sold out, like, maybe by a few minutes into the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And the shirts are going up on eBay for hundreds of dollars now.
Right. I've heard anywhere from between $150 and $600 for these shirts.
The best in the world CM Punk shirt from the Allstate Arena. Crazy.
And I saw that and I had my fingers crossed that they might, just for grins, throw a few of those up on ShopZone. But
right.
Somebody knows their continuity and didn't. I hate to say this, but I'm almost glad they weren't on ShopZone. I want one. I ain't paying $150 for it.
Screw that, exactly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, will you pay $24.99 for the Zack Ryder shirt, though? That's the question.
I need to take another look at that one. Did the one with the QR code on it actually come through? Is that the one that
they showed on? It's the Zack Ryder, the sunglasses and the hair in the front, and then take care, spike your hair with the QR code on the back.
Okay.
So.
Now I'm going
to
jump over
there. So there you go, Scott Stanford. No need to be scanning Zach's junk anymore. So there you go.
All right. That's just...
classy.
Let's see. Yeah, stay classy, Jim.
Yeah. I try to.
And 2 weeks till we have Q2 results.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's
quarter,
true.
Quarter two coming up soon, yeah.
There it is.
You've got to imagine the pay-per-view buys for Money in the Bank have got to be big. You would figure with all the lead up and all the hype and all the anticipation and whatnot, they've got to be up there. I'm not saying WrestleMania up there by no means, but a nice pop from what they had been doing. It's got
right.
I'd say close to big four numbers, I think. Here.
Well, I'm hoping we got the jump because the shootastic promos that Punk cut definitely would have gotten the attention of the IWC.
Sure.
Second of all, Chicago's a big market.
Right.
And we know that judging from the crowd reaction, if you couldn't get a ticket, you had it on your TV.
Right.
We could only hope. I would be curious if they would be able to give us some numbers for people who didn't buy it on the initial 8 o'clock run once the word got out.
Right. Well, because on many, many systems, at least here in the States, they replay the damn thing all month long, like crazy.
Yeah. So I just,
the
total
cume, if you will, yes.
I would love to hear those cumulative numbers. I was told the DVD would be available end of August.
Hey, there's your late birthday present for me, people. There you go.
And I want to see those numbers.
Oh, God. They're going to number one DVD without a doubt in its category. No doubt.
I would be, even though I spent the full $50 for an HD presentation of this event, would I be out of my mind dropping the $20 to get my hands on the Blu-ray?
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
So, you know, they've made quite a bit of money off of me, and that's just going to be my vote of confidence to say, I like this. Do this more. Please do this more. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Give me a second.
Yep, no problem. Well, we have a moment, another cheap plug. Saturday night, 9 Eastern, the CLW83 Night Shift Summertime Special. Me, Chris Clark. Chris Clark mainly hosts, I'm just there. All sorts of fun and excitement. And Dustin James, the creator of a new Facebook game called Captured, will be joining us. And I might have a hand in that game, doing some voiceovers, hint, hint. And also, from the Wayne Potts Experience of the Knee Jerks blogs, a Detroit area blogger, Al Beaton, will be joining us as well. So give it a listen. And again, the free liposuction, too.
Well, Trista has finally logged in.
Oh, jeez.
And okay. I'm bugging her. I said, where were you? And she says, I didn't get a reminder. Oh, and I went out.
Well, you posted on Facebook.
Well, I should have put her name on the preview.
Oh. I thought you did.
I might not have. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
She will be happy to hear all the love for Punk that we gave tonight. And that Punker better keep all that crap up, and if he wants to show off that belt in Minneapolis, he's more than welcome, and I'll give him a couch to crash on.
Hey there. Well, and Beth, I'm sure, will come in and, you know, do some moving. Yes.
Well, let's just say I am not interested in what I'm sure every other WWE diva has seen when it comes to Punk. I like him, but not that much, and I'm taken.
Well, I never understood the concept of being straight edge, but yet you're tattooed to the nines. That doesn't jive with me for some reason.
I reiterate. If I had a picture of CM Punk and a picture of Rob Van Dam next to each other and showed them to a non-wrestling person.
Right.
Who's the druggie? They'll point at Punk.
They'll point at Punk. Well,
they will all point at Punk. Every last one of them will point at Punk.
Now, if you see the Rob Van Dam image by a 420 mile marker, that could be different.
Now I'm taking all the hints out of the pictures.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just, you know.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah, I know.
So
gentlemen, have we done enough damage to the wrestling world for this week?
I would say Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right then. Then just one last quick question. What next?
Shoot.
What next?
Yeah, really. I mean, compelling television that we're getting from WWE, which we didn't think they had it in them, let's be honest. None of us thought. When we go back to the pay-per-view pick-ems, and you know I went this route, which got me in last place, thankfully, because I thought they would go buy the book. I thought they would just say, screw the crowd, we're doing it the way we always do things with the Super Cena, Super Orton in the background. I couldn't have been happier to be wrong. Compelling television, interesting, like you mentioned, kind of expanding the PG zone a little bit. That's important, too. We'll see what happens.
BRM, any thoughts?
What Jim just said, we're finally getting something that might actually be worth tuning in for the surprise factor once again.
And to that, I will thank Hunter personally if I ever get the honor of running into him again.
I think JR said it best on Twitter immediately after the pay-per-view. Anytime you have a pay-per-view where you're left with more questions than answers, you know that the parties in creative have done their job. Paraphrasing, of course. But that's exactly the case study. I mean, when you are left with more questions than answers, and you want to know the answers to the questions, mission accomplished.
Yes. So, whatever you guys are on, order yourselves a double for next week.
Wait. But they got rid of Sin Cara because of that stuff.
No. Oh. Steroids doesn't help the writers, trust me.
Oh, well, especially when Freddie Prinze was there, that's for sure.
Ooh.
Oh, God. You know, look at me, I'm just like my dad. Ooh, yeah. No, you're not. Your dad had talent. Oh, sorry.
Ouch. All right, that's going to do it for me then. I've got an early day tomorrow. I has more work to do. But to you gentlemen, if you are interested, and somewhere down the line it could happen, when SummerSlam starts rolling around, there is talk of possibly doing a pay-per-view pre-show.
Ooh, yes.
That I would be happy to host and would be happy to find some people to jump in with me.
Definitely.
Jim, you've heard a little bit about this already, VRM, if you're interested.
Look out, Jack Corpella. Look out, Scott Sanford. We're coming for you. Oh.
Tisk. All right.
Come on.
No, you're fine.
It was there. I had to go. I slurred it, so I didn't say it. So.
No, you're fine. But that's okay. So, gentlemen, until next week.
Good fight. Good night.
Good night.
Night, Jerem.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services,
please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.